Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. My name's Kyle. Joining me tonight, we've got Vanta Trading's Baba Yaga, honorary CEO Flary, and Bear Goes Long is also joining us here. Have we given Bear a fancy fake title yet?
We need one.
Yeah, I thought it was Director of Guest Acquisition.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Yes, we got Bear, our Director of Guest Acquisition, with us as well.
Very FTT yeah. Vibe of giving everybody like an executive title.
I'm glad you went that direction.
I was gonna. Wow.
I'm sorry. It is. Everybody was the COO over there or something.
I thought for sure someone was gonna mention something NCAA related. I was gonna have to shut a mic off. I thought. No, we're good. Bob tried to get the rivalry going again this morning. Oh right. Let's see. What do we got going on this week, guys? I don't know. What do you guys have going on? Anything worth talking about? Anything new happen? Anything fun?
Ton of wide ranges. Bunch of data this week. Probably the biggest stop run. What was it Monday data? Yeah, I think it was Monday. Is it Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday.
What was it Tuesday? That was it was whatever the data was.
6:30. Oh,
Tuesday. Yeah.
I haven't seen like so. First of all, I think it was like 100 something points in like 5 seconds. But the cool thing, like if you look at a footprint or whatever, typically when you see those moves, you'll see like skipped auctions, all that good shit, whatever. But like you'll see some back and forth trading. It was 100% zeros on the left for 100 points straight up. So with that, I mean, pure stop run, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. Don't judge me. But like there was basically no need to put a bid back on. Because there was no bids filled. It was just lifting offers for like 100 points in 5 seconds.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm. So if you get it, whatever. Yeah. If you have a footprint, pull it up, go look at it. I just thought it was kind of cool to see to start the week. And a bunch of big data, wide ranges. Chatted with you guys a little bit about like using options during those wide ranges and stuff. But
set off all the velocity logic. Locked everything up for like 5-10 seconds.
That was the first time I've seen... on any data that I've seen my Denali kind of jack around for a second.
Oh, was that the day you were having issues with your feed where you were just kind of slow and jumpy all day?
No, that was like Monday. That data was Wednesday that went from 950 to like 400 basically.
I think that was something weird happened to me this week where I started waking up normal times, like pre-waking up before my alarm goes off. So I was actually in a position to be sitting there before news, and I stopped myself from sitting down and throwing on a fun long just to see what happens.
Well, what did we have, a two-day balance down there? I would have loved to have the chance to buy that balance high on a retest, but the move happened.
Yeah.
That news, there was no clicking a button during that.
I think I managed to get something in there on one of like the rebids afterwards coming into
open.
But
you did.
Yeah. That was a fun day. It was a fun week.
Yeah, good week.
All right, well, I got some show news I should probably talk about. John Cousins, I got an episode coming out with him on Thursday. That dude somehow, I don't know how, but he wrote over 60 books on like things from learning to learn to books on music, trading, all kinds of shit. I've also got a recording lined up with Two-Year Flipper next week. He's going to be talking about a deal that he's got going on. And then, Flary, I think you're joining us for the next Humanity episode next week, too, right?
I guess so. What do I need to expect for this? I think I've only, no offense, but I think I've only listened to like one or two episodes of the Humanity. What's the format?
Premise is just going to be how like trading has affected your life, how it's changed you as a person, like the ways that it's, the ways it's impacted your life and your humanity, I guess. Has it made you a better person or a worse person? Most people it seems to have made better. But you could always be the first.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how you take the take the licks, I guess. But
be a trailblazer,
right? Blaze your own trail.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
We also got the Buck Starts Here podcast going on. It's on to John Adams Part 2. Will be out on Monday.
Nice.
All right, let's get into one of these topics here. So I got a couple suggestions from all of you guys, so I'll leave it up to y'all. What do you want to start with? We got your P&L, not taking trades sometimes, scalping. What was the other one you had, Blair? You had another one that you mentioned.
Well, I mean, so I was talking about the move to high, move to low, in general as like a trade setup, just to kind of do like a version of the alpha drop kind of thing. But
I think we wrap up with that. I think
half. And I think instead of just focusing on the move to high, move to low, we quickly cover that and then we hit trend breaks, because I love that suggestion from Baba, because those were some good trades this week. So I pulled up some good examples, and maybe we give screen share a try here.
Oh, that sounds nice. All right, so if you're listening to this,
I'll do my best to articulate it as well.
We'll do our, but if you, just check the links. There'll be links to the YouTube channel. Also, make sure that whatever screen shares we do gets clipped out and put on its own.
But yeah, let's start with the P&L conversation that Bear wanted to bring up.
So I know we talked about this in the past a few times. Like, Bobby, we talked about having the number that you can't, like, your how deep can you dig a hole before you can't recover? It's kind of like one of the angles I think we've taken on that.
We have had some good conversations about that, and I can think of one that at least Baba and I were involved in about hitting that euphoria moment. You know, actually people have that, that winner's tilt, where once the number goes over a certain point, they hit winner's tilt and start to just do crazy things and give it back. But really what I had in mind where I was going with this idea was, you know, everybody focuses, or at least a lot of the FinTwit trading kind of stuff focuses on managing your trade. And, you know, it's like, oh, you know, don't move your stops. You know, what are you doing for this? You know, where are you placing your targets? All of that. And I feel like there's a little less emphasis on how you manage your day. You know, pull back and look at your day as a single trade, and how are you managing that? You know, you might be really good at managing your stops and not moving your stop out, but if you take the same trade six times and you get stopped six times, didn't you really just move your stop six times?
There's a state, one of the, I can't remember who said it. Was it you? Was it Flary? Was it Baba? They talked about, like, why are you fading your P&L curve right now? Or is you really like, is it worth putting money on you right now when you've taken six stops in a row? Do you really want to back that trader?
Mm-hmm.
That one, I think, kind of sticks with me, and that's the one I kind of look at. It's like, if I've dug a hole this deep, do I really want to back myself with another, you know, couple hundred dollars or whatever I want to, however much leash I want to give myself to hang myself with? Mm-hmm. The answer is usually no.
So how do you look at it, Bear, I guess, just to kick it off?
You know, I'm the one that kicked it off, and I'm the one that kicked it off because this is one of the things I'm really struggling with right now. I've had several instances the last few weeks where I'll start off the day. I'll have a really good start to the day. I'll get to a nice number, and I'll be like, oh, that's great. And next thing I know, I look at my P&L, and I'm red. And I'm like, how did I get here? In that case, it was more of a winner's tilt move. I was also kind of thinking about some of the, you know, just trying to look at it during the day of, you know, what are some mechanisms, some strategies I can build to help me look at it as a day, as a trade, so that I can get more disciplined about locking in profits and saying, hey, you know what? I hit the $500 mark, just to pull a number out of the air. I hit the $500 mark. If I get back to $300, I'm going to lock myself up for the day. And that's a big challenge. And for me personally, but I feel like that's one of the stepping stones of learning that separates a break-even trader from a profitable trader, or even a losing trader from a break-even trader.
Baba, there's something that you've mentioned a while back too about like the mentality of taking stops, like kind of wears on you after a while. It's a negative experience where maybe you should be counting like how many stops you've taken, or how many stops are you going to allow yourself to take. Maybe that'd be a better way to think of it, as opposed to, I don't know, maybe trying to trail your drawdown. I know, just spitballing ideas here.
I mean, I know a lot of traders that use the three stops and you're done rule.
What do you guys think? You guys experimented with any of that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I'm personally not in that camp, I would say. I know and realize the equity in it. You know, like it's a bumper rail, or what do they call them in the bowling?
Guardrail.
Bumper ball. Yeah. It's the bumpers, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bumper. Like if you are prone to tilt and things like that, like take three stops, go take a walk if it's, you know, not winter in Minnesota. go take a walk. I've done that a lot. I'll walk down to the daughter's bus stops down the way. I'll kind of like walk down to there and come back, or just grab a cup of coffee. But I think like as you mature, it becomes more of a mathematical game, I think. And I think with that being said, I do think there's a lot of merit to like a daily limit where you just like, it's just more than you want to lose in a day. Even if you still think there's good setups, you know, it's just not your day. You just take your L and you go on, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But I think my approach is more, as long as I still am making rational decisions, which I think is the maturity part, right? Like as long as I'm still confident that I'm making rational decisions, I'm still going to at least be active in the markets and wait for my setups.
How do you quantify that?
I mean, just being honest with yourself about the last trade you just took. So, you know, I mean, you take a stop out or whatever and you go, yeah, was that in my process? You know, I mean, if you have a well-defined process, that's usually pretty easy to sort of determine. Are you just picking a spot? You know, again, like, it's the conundrum of getting better, right? Because the better you get, the easier it is to find trades, the more you know about, you know, 50,000 different setups and things like that. So, you know, again, like, especially like order flow based stuff, and like you open a chart and give me 3.5 seconds, I'll find you a trade. Like there's something, you know, like, oh, there's a buyer, there's a seller, you know, I mean, so, you know, it's easy to get in that mentality of like, there's another trade right now. But if you have an outline process, a very detailed sort of like checklist of things that you want to see to enter, it's pretty easy to answer that question, like subjectively. It's just like, that's why I lean more towards the maturity, because the answer then becomes like, are you currently being honest with yourself, or are you just like bullshitting yourself so you can take another bad trade? And I think as long as that answer is yes, I would continue to trade until I hit, you know, a negative number that was, you know, greater than what I want to lose in a given day. And I think the same sort of goes for the upside, except for I think that's still, sort of an area of maturity that I need, is that like upstuck is still a struggle of mine. So, you know, being up a bunch and then giving a little back, just makes me want to make that, you know, like it's that market owes me mentality. And so, you know, knowing that that's a struggle, I lean into good enough. So my bumper rails are good enough. Like I have like a, you know, I don't know if I want to call it a number, but more of like a satisfaction of like a great A+ setup that like went to target and things like that, where it's just like, and it could be one trade. And sometimes, like, you know, especially if it's an opening range move or something like that, a 30-second no-tick OR, and it just, you know, drops 150 points. If I go, okay, if the opening range breaks lower, which I think it will, and it does, and then we take out, you know, whatever, we fill the gap, whatever it is, like whatever your exits are, and it, like, you laid it out and it does A, B, and C, and you did well on the trade, like for me, I'm fine walking away going, okay, that was just one amazing trade. I made good money. Let's go do something else, because that's why we do this. And, you know, sometimes it's money level, right? Like I made X. But I think like some version of good enough helps me not, one, like subdue to the compulsion of trading and like the charts and like, you know, all of the stuff that's exciting about it, right? Watching the price action, all the stuff. And two, to just like be content, right? Like it's easy to want more, especially when you're doing good. But I think the mature side of that is like, I'm really reading the market well, and, you know, I feel comfortable pressing today. And every once in a while, I'll lean into that as well and trying to mature into that. So to sum all that up, I think like the answer for me is there's like a hard daily number that like I just don't want to go below, because I know how long it's going to take me on average to recover from. But as long as I'm acting and performing inside of my process, it's really just like it's like being a card counter in blackjack. Like, it's about getting hands, and the more hours you have at the table, the more EV you're earning. And if you have positive expectancy, the more time you're inside your process trading your markets and your setups, the more EV you're generating. And you know, that's kind of the point of this, right? If you're positive EV, you're supposed to generate EV. That's the name of the game. It's
really just comes down to how well can you execute and for how long.
Yeah, and again, like, so then it becomes emotional, right? Like, so when do you have to put the bumper rails on your emotions? And for me, the emotions typically are to the top side, not so much to the downside. Like, if I take what I thought was an A-plus trade and it just gets slammed in my face, I don't really care. If I take, like, two or three A-plus trades, they go well, and then I give back half of that on one of the trades, and I start forcing, I start to care, and I'll just say, you know what, good enough. And so for me, like, my immaturity is more to the upside than the downside. And so, you know, I just try to kind of guard there. But I think in a perfect world, it's just, you know, when the setups are there, when the market conditions are there, that's when you're supposed to be there. I'll let someone else speak here real quick, but like, there was a really good post by S&B Capital of like 24 hours in the life of a seven-figure trader the other day.
I saw that.
And, you know, like, it was FOMC, and the guy like traded the open and then like just like split out of the office, like grabbed his gym bag and went and did some other stuff and then came back and traded, you know, traded FOMC. And I think like that, to me, that's the right mentality. Like, that's the mature mentality of like, yeah, the market's always going to be there. Like, if I know today the time to be at my desk is at 1 o'clock when the notes hit, then that's when I'm going to be at my desk. The open 1 o'clock. If it's the afternoon, like, there's really just like, go do something else. There's no reason to like force something or move it on. So for me, it's like trying to get to that mindset and doing everything I can to avoid the spots where I have those shortfalls. And again, it all comes from being honest with yourself. If you're lying to yourself, you're just never going to know, you know, where to set that daily number, where, like, you know, can I manage three stops? No, I can't. Okay. Well, then stop at three stops. I don't know.
Bob,
brief follow-up there. Do you feel like that endurance muscle, I'll call it that, for, you know, how long you can keep in a positive EV mindset, do you feel like that muscle has gotten stronger over time so you can trade longer and longer each month?
It's definitely gotten stronger, but almost to like the sense where it actually helps me not feel the need to sit at the desk for so long, in a way. But yeah, definitely. I mean, one trade used to stress me out. I mean, every trade used to stress me out. And now it just becomes, you know, generating EV.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, it definitely is something that progresses. And as, and in all, you know, honestly, like, as the journey went from, you know, Genesis to today, there was a lot of bumper rails put up each stop, you know, each rung of that journey. There was something that I did that was defensive against the areas that I knew were weaknesses. And a lot of that is, to your point, P&L driven, daily equity driven. The process is what the answer is.
No, I mean, I asked that because, you know, like, just this year, my best days have literally been done within 20 minutes of the open.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, 20 minutes in the open, I've blown past my goal, and I'm like, you know what? Today's a freaking awesome day. I'm going to lock it up before I screw it up.
# good enough, right?
Bingo.
Yeah.
So,
and right, again, like, I think that's good, but how long ago would you have a trade like that? And then the euphoria is still there, and it's lasting an hour, 2 hours, and you're trading the rest of the, you know, till the euro close, just with this like bloated ego, bloated, you know, euphoric state, and you've given half of it back. And I think, again, like, maturity, whatever you want to call it, you know, just saying, hey, listen, man, I nailed it. Like, I could step away and retire on top today. Like, you know, just check the box for today and move on.
Today, you know, I maxed out a combine account. You know, I was copy trading multiple accounts, you know, I maxed out a combine account. I'm like, awesome. And I'm like, okay, you know what? This is good. Obviously, that account's locked. I'm going to go lock my funded accounts. And then I had another combine account, and I was like, ah, I'm on fire today. I'm going to go max this account.
Go on.
You know, no. Thankfully, okay. I do have that bottom target that says, we talked about it before. There's a number that I know that if I go this far in the red, my odds of recovering that day are like 5%. So it's like, and it's a number that's small enough that if I hit that loss, I'm like, okay, tomorrow.
Yep.
But yeah, I blinked and I'm like, oh, I'm there. Oh, well, all right. I guess that combine's waiting until next week.
Good problem.
All right.
Yeah.
I think some of this kind of sounds like a little bit of like Baba was wanting to talk about just being comfortable not taking trades. Player, you kind of mm-hmm. hinted around that, like the longer you've been working on your process and honing your edge, the less you feel the impulse to do something stupid or outside of your process, right? I feel like I'm starting to get towards that point too. So I don't know, Baba, if you wanted to talk a little bit more about that, because I think you were kind of exercising that today in the trading room quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of the fatigue decision-making stuff, I think that whole idea of the more clear you become on what trade or trades you would like to take, because of either you like them, like you like taking that setup, you just prefer it, or it performs well, or I would even say performs well for you. Maybe if you tried to explain it to someone else, they would be like, I don't really get it, but it's your bread and butter. I think the more clear you are about what those are or what that is, I don't know, like there's just not as there's I think that limits the decisions you have to make each day.
Mm-hmm.
So like for me, like 2 years ago, I was like a 30-second OR trade Nazi. Like, I don't know if we can say Nazi, but like, and the 30-second OR was performing quite well at that time.
Yeah, it had a pretty good run for a while there, yeah.
And it's not, and the 30-second OR is still great. I still have it on my chart. I still consider it. It still informs me to some extent. Famous quote of, you can't have a trend day up without being above the OR, blah, blah, blah. It's actually not exactly true, because you could trend up all of Globex and then just balance. So I got to recant that one. But what I'm getting at is, like, today, and go back and look at it. I don't really – it's good. You guys will get it, but Kyle will get it because he was in the room. But, like, we traded to, like, a spot that mattered a lot to me. We actually traded to two spots. One mattered more than the other. So we'll just focus on, so like 628 for my work was really important. If we had not traded to 628 before the market opened, then I would have really been like four hands shorting 628 if we would have tagged it the first time during RTH. If we hadn't traded pre-market and hit it. Since we hit it pre-market, that was kind of off the table. Like, banging that short was less, I was less interested in it. Now, coming into the open, we talked about 628 in the room, and I thought maybe there would be a short to be had there. Of course, we open and it's like 5 seconds. Like, you can't even click the button to short 628. We fell, you know, 130 points immediately. Within a couple minutes, we were way below 628. And the thing about that is, like, the further we get away from that, the further we get away from that area, the more vulnerable I know my executions are. Because if I can execute right up against an area, and today it was that, but let's pick anything, whatever market research, trend following or not work you do, you want to be able to execute within a proximity of those areas, right?
Yeah.
And so when you can't, then you have a decision to make. Well, do I think this is going to go here before it goes back and retest that or whatever? Then you're into, like, it's not like you're freewheeling it, but you're definitely you're having to kind of put on your thinking cap and make a lot more decisions, I feel like, to like figure out how to join this, even though we're 50 points away from where I actually wanted to be short from, but I couldn't get short because it happened so fast. So you just
you're
don't
innovating
do it.
Almost, right?
You just don't take it.
You're out of process. You're on play.
Yeah, you're like, well, then I'll just wait, right? Because I want to sell that number or within 10 points of that number, and I can't. So then, and then on the flip side, I love the balance area, the two-day balance high. I want it to be long out of there. But just above there, like 520s, was another spot for me that if we would have been below 520 before the open, that anyways, the point is that area had already been kind of – it had already played. And so it wasn't as prime to me. And so on an OPEX Friday – I gave it like a shot. I think I took one trade out of that range, got one scale off, stopped out. And then when we broke below 21 and we actually went offer on 21, I tried to press that back into balance. As soon as that failed, I stopped break even. And then, you know, in theory, could we have flipped the trade? Sure. But which time? You look at a 5-minute chart or a 1-minute chart at what it looked like. You know, it was just... It was like a barcoding in there. So all of that to say that the market will sometimes give it to you on a silver platter. And it's like, thank you, I will have another. And sometimes it's kind of like this morning where you have like, I want to be short from here, I want to be long from here, blah, blah, blah. And then like the market doesn't unfold in such a way that it gives you the ability to execute. You got to be okay with that. Like, And for me, it's like, oh, there's a bunch of people in the room listening or watching, and they probably have opinions about how they think it should be executed. And the point is, like, for me and for you, it's between you and your work and your account. And so if there is a thing to be said about the longevity of decision making throughout a day and all that stuff, it is if you are executing your work around your areas, that is not a fatiguing thing because it's really not that much of a decision to make.
Can I try one here, Baba? I'm just thinking of an analogy that might help. It's almost like being at a buffet table when you're it's like the difference between going to like order food and knowing what you want to eat, like already having a plan for it, and versus going out and not knowing what you're going to get and the fatigue that comes from trying to pick a fucking meal.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like, kind of like that. Like, there's like, too many entries. What am I going to, which one do I pick? I don't know.
Like, dude, I mean, like, Fleury, the true, like, the best thing that's been, not the best, like, you can find a trade. I mean, I can take a trade. If you just want to see numbers move on a chart, I can pull the trigger.
I don't.
That's not,
I want to take something that I believe in or something that has a chance of working.
Exactly. And so I am, like, leaning more and more. Like, I set an alert on my phone, and then I went and played with my kids outside and seasoned my new smoker and then came back later and actually ended up taking a long above 628, which sounds crazy because it only went like 30 points, but that is in that was right in line with my stuff because above 628, there's another number I want to go trade to that I feel very confident we will tag. And I want to be a part of going to challenge to that. And so if we're not going to stop at 628, then 767, mark it down, 21767. Like, we go tag that. It's that and 410. That's like the two places. I want to take trades there. I want to take a trade to go get to 767, or I want to go down to 410. I don't want to play here unless something new develops. So when you can be that, like, when that's what I know, and I know that if I look back, I'll be proud of that. If I look back, and even if I take stops there, I'll be like, well, you waited for what you wanted. All right, well then, that's
there's still
the
pride
goal,
to taking
right?
that. Yeah.
Like I honor, I put all this work in, and then you look back at your executions, and you're like, what? Who the freak? What are you doing? So that's
such
a
common
thing,
pitfall,
man.
Especially on a week like this where we had these like big initial moves. And I mean, again, it's like it's so level one thinking, but it's doing an injustice to call it level one thinking because you drop 150 points on the open. And yeah, today they rallied, but the other day they didn't, right? Thursday they didn't. And it's so easy to just be like, well, we're down a bunch so long. And it's so hard to say, okay, I missed the opening range short. I missed the opening range retest. And I thought it was a short, but now we're down so much and it just must be a long. And to forget about the fact that we've already retested the opening range. The opening range from 30-second, 5-minute, 15-minute is all no tick. We've retested opening range POC. Like, we haven't, we retested VWAP and held. We're below the mid of the day. Like, all of these things are telling
you,
don't take longs.
Were you on the stream this
morning?
Yeah,
I'm sure you checked all those boxes, right?
And here's the other thing,
but
Claire.
But you still
here's the other
do
thing.
It, right?
Well,
like
I mean,
it's
well,
still, or people still do that. Like, and they never, like, when if you were to say this morning, you know, give me your dissertation on longs, there's no way they would have said, I think we're going to drop 150 points and I'm going to take 6 longs. Like, that just wasn't part of the plan.
Right.
No. But it, in the moment, it's hard to, for like, how hard to, you know, be like, hey, man, this wasn't a trade. Now, if it drops 150 points to an area where you were planning to long, God bless it. And if it rips right through it, you know, it's just, you know, part of the game. But
I feel, Flair, that was, I think, what I was so proud of on my Thursday was I had 2 trades, 2 quick stops. I kind of fired one in a spot that made sense. The second one, I looked at it and I was like, man, I think that was me just being upset at losing this stop and just trying to revenge enter. And so I called it a day. I mean, it was maybe 10 minutes into the open and I was done.
Well, Kyle,
so you
wasn't
know what?
There
I'm tapping myself out. I'm not trading well.
Wasn't there another day this week where you, or maybe it was last week, but you came in kind of thinking because of the way things were set up that you were like, I don't even know if I'll be taking a trade today. And then you ultimately got a setup and you did take it.
Yeah.
And I think the point is,
it's happened,
like,
twice, I think, this week.
Yeah. That's, there's something to that with, like, no expectations. But the other thing is, if you, if you're aware of the 30 second no tick OR condition and some of the stats around that, and you're aware of the 15 minute drive, retest, and then go, if you're aware of all that, to your point, Flary, I wanted to bid 521 or balance area high, especially if we couldn't close anything below, but I didn't want to bid it against that kind of open, and so it was like, I'll give it a shot with half size, and that's the way I mitigated that, was like, okay, I'll take just a little bit and scale a little quicker, because really this is freaking, like, this is. We've
it's
got
not
all
the way
of
the, it
I can make
looks.
A, I can make a good case for, like, why this area should hold up. I can make a way better statistical case why all of this should go down. In fact, because I would like to buy at 410 instead of right here. So let's go another 120 points lower. But when you can, like, look at all that, you go, okay, well, what's my options? Option one, I just trade balls to the wall like normal, even though I have conflicting, like, stat, and I'm not talking about sitting down and going, oh, I don't know what's going on. I'm talking about, like, when you, like, what we're talking about. You can say,
oh,
like,
here's a long setup that's coming into a short setup.
Exactly. Yeah. Here's the conditions. Well, today, if you take one of all three of those and apply it to a random day, minus all the others, that's a great way for a day to start. Like, if I have a really key level, like 70 points lower than the open, and we have, like, a normal open where we trade out both sides or whatever, and it's not a no tick and it's not an ODZ, I'm like, freak yes, let's buy that dip. If we have a day that I don't have this bang, what I consider a banger level lower, and we get a 30 second no tick, let's go. Like, I'm taking short. I'm going to figure out how to take shorts. Same thing for a 15 minute open and drive. Kyle, I've said this 20 times lately. I feel like it's a record. We're at the top of a range, and we get a 15-minute drive lower. I love a 15-minute drive lower at the top of a range. I don't like a 15-minute drive higher at the top of a range. And vice versa.
Right.
Exactly.
Thursday.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? You get it. Like, and so when those things are there, you either execute and take your medicine if you're wrong, or you take your reward if you're right, but you're not heeding prudence, in my opinion. Like, you're just forcing the issue. I've got to trade. Well, like, dude, if it's all conflicting, and man, just, like, freaking leave it alone,
you know?
You know
what really helped me the most, I think, in this past couple of weeks? I mean, really, Bob, I messaged you at the beginning of the year. I felt like I was on the verge of a level up, and I really do think I might have actually hit one. It really does feel like things have been kind of clicking a lot lately. But really, it was getting off of the short time frames. Like, I had to get off of that 30-second chart. I can, the longer I sit on that, the more likely I am to do something stupid.
30-second chart. Oh,
dude,
I have it up all the time, and it's so you can stare at it. It starts moving.
We lost the move to the high. Oh, we gained the move to the low. Oh, right. We failed to activate.
Flip onto a 5-minute, and then suddenly all those, there's very few trades that you find that you actually want to take.
Yeah,
I was gonna say.
I go to the 30-second to find my entry once chart? I see it set up on the 5-minute.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, I think we beat a dead horse. In summary, you don't have to trade, and sometimes the market. I feel like sometimes people will use the phrase, "Oh, the market was difficult because they traded like crap."
Yeah.
And then, but in reality, some days the market does present kind of a little bit of an extra conundrum to try to navigate. And if that's the case, it's okay to chill. And the more you press on those days to bear conversation, the way more taxing it is.
Yeah.
And then the days when everything's clean and tidy, that's the days to lean in, you know?
Well, and the reality is most people are trading a market or two. And let's be honest, like if you go back and you look at like a lot of really successful like hedge fund type traders, the reason they trade, sponsored by, the reason they trade individual names and in play stocks is because they're in play. And if you're looking at one name every day, NQ is not in play every day. Now, is there a setup every 3.5 seconds? Yeah, of course. if you know enough to like enough different modes of work to find something, yeah. But like, is it in play for what you want? Like, is your bread and butter in play? And I think that's like the way I try to approach like what you're mentioning is like, yeah, listen, I'd love to short this today, but like it's already kind of been tested. They kind of already went here. The open didn't really lend itself to my thesis. And it's just my book is not in play today because I'm only looking at NQ. Now, if you are capable of expanding your horizon, that's where you start to get to some of that. But a lot of people don't or aren't, right?
I can't.
It's not a strength. And I
what
think
are you talking
like,
about? I got you on YM. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, dude, I looked at IWM because I was going to take options. But like I was looking at Russell today and like that looked cleaner. Like shorting Russell today looked way cleaner. And
short back? Where you just short the open and Russell
just,
long
yeah,
and
yeah.
Do you remember the
horse train?
A horse train.
That's when Russell was my friend, and then when that went away, it just took my soul. And
I do think it's back to some extent. Like ESNQ up, just short Russell anywhere. Right. But anyways,
we've got about 20 minutes left if we want to keep to the hour here. So, do we want to do some knowledge drops here then?
Yes, we should for sure, mm-hmm. Man.
What do we want to start with, and who wants to lead it off?
I mean, I'll jump into the trend break stuff here. I could do a screen share if we want to do it.
Yeah.
And I think this will be a good segue into, you know, that like being patient, and sometimes you want to be short, you want to be long, whatever, and it's not the right environment. But also to kind of like the first part of the conversation of like just still watching the market. You don't have to necessarily be active in it, but you're aware and watching to see if something sets up. Thursday, was it Thursday in NQ? Yeah, Thursday in NQ, we made a move to a high and we lost the move to the high and it set up a trend break. And I think trend break is one of the things that I wanted to share from like an alpha drop perspective, but the trend break developed in the middle of the day and it actually retested it almost immediately after it formed. And it set up like what was like a 200-ish point liquidation into the close that I sent you guys the options trade I took on it. That was
you're back and you cycled out how many times? Like 4?
Yeah, we had a lot of contracts on that one.
nice work, dude.
But yeah, okay, so trend break. So let me try to share screen here. Let's see.
What time frame are you going to do? Something like 4 hour or 1 hour?
Yeah, so I'm going to do some 1 hours. I've got a couple examples I have pulled up, but let me pull up this ES chart first because let's explain what a trend break is first. So trend break is a setup, right? So we can just say the trend break is a setup. It's a retest setup. And the concept here is we want to find the leg or the directional move of the market that was responsible for confirming the shift in trend from either a downtrend into an uptrend or from an uptrend into a downtrend. And so in order to sort of like have a high or a low, we need to have what I call a move to the low. So here, this would be sort of like the move to the low. This leg down, we had like, what is the, you know, imagine the market's kind of like coming down, right? And this is the new low. So this, from this high to this low would be sort of that move to the low. So the move to the low is kind of from here to here, right? Just making a new low doesn't mean that this is going to be the low or that the trend shifts. And what I've done in the way that I look at trend is I have a rule set for activating that. So I want to know, it's not just good enough to get above it, like here, right? It's not just good enough to get above this high once. For me, I want to see us get above the previous high. And sometimes the previous high is higher. Sometimes the previous high can be lower. I've got a couple of different rules for that. But in this example, the previous high is just up here. And I think in general, you could just like bucket them all into like what was the previous high. So I want to see the previous high also get taken out. So we have a move to the low, right? And yeah, okay, we got above it here, but we didn't get above the previous high. Now, when we get above the previous high, in my mind, or the concept of this setup, is that the leg, which I call the trend break leg here, that sort of confirms the move. It makes that second higher high. It takes out the high from before the move to the low. And now we've got like a very convincing, you know, move to the low that we got above, and also an activation leg. Now, sometimes this first leg will do both, you know, make the move to the low, gain the move to the low, and activate. But the point is that we're isolating this idea of this like sort of trend break leg. And so again, we have a move to the low, we have the previous high, which is our activation level, and then we have the trend break leg, which is sort of that leg that says, these are the guys that said, I like that low, let's go higher. And so the concept here is, if these are the guys that confirmed that move to the low or the high, then when we come back to that area, specifically the bar that puts in that low, I want to be a participant in a rebid or a reoffer from this spot. Yes. And that's the trade. It's sort of like a continuation trade, call it a pullback in trend, you know, whatever you want to call it. There's probably a bunch of different names out there for it. But the concept is identifying sort of this in a systematic way, using identifying the move to the low, taking out the previous high, and then saying which leg did that. And that's that trend break leg. So let's take a look at a couple of examples, and we'll look at the inflow like midday one in NQ. So we have a very clear move to the high, right? I mean, we came from a low down here, and this is the highest high. So that's what I have sort of marked out with this box here. And we'll zoom in on that now. So you saw the low we came from. So if we have the move to the high, right, the previous high in this example was actually, the previous low, because we're going the opposite way, in this example was actually above us. So in my rule set, if the previous low came above, it's actually more important to take out the next low, right? Versus if it was above, we would want to take out that next high. And that happens right here. So our activation leg, right, would be this leg right here. So from this high to this low is the leg. These sellers are the ones that said, all right, that high was a good high and I believe in it and in this idea or this setup. So we have go ahead.
For this too, just the picture that you drew a minute ago, just if you see that screenshot and you're listening to this, this would be an example of flipping that upside down.
Yes. Yeah. So this is the short version. We'll look at a long version in ES here. So again, we have a move to the high, right? We have a break below the next significant low, which in this example comes on the downside of the move, and that is a close below that right here. And so now we've identified basically from this high to this low is significant. And like I said, the first bar, the initial sellers that started that leg down that in my system confirms that move to the high, that's where we want to reoffer. And so here you can see this happened. This move happened at 11 o'clock in the afternoon. And we confirmed it at noon and we pulled back into it in the power hour. And this was the bread and butter. So right here, we pulled back into that, this, you know, this zone here in the last hour of the day. I entered puts, which, you know, if you trade options, you know that the volatility in options in the last hour is significant. And this move from basically 390, 385, so it took 10 points of heat, 385, went, you know, 200 points into the close. And this was actually the low into the close, and then they bid it out. So this would be, this zone would be considered a trend break, a sell side trend break. So we made a move to the high. We confirmed that with this leg here. These sellers in this process are the sellers that are significant. And when we re-offer that, this is where we want to enter. Cool trade for options too, because you know you have limited downside risk, but unlimited upside risk. And yeah, so that's the NQ trade. In ES, we'll look at it the right way. or whatever the way of the example. Here in ES we have a move to the low, so this is January 13th, this Monday, again coming from a very significant high. You can kind of see it like way up here. This is the sequence of making a low, and in this example very clearly the previous high was above it. And if we just kind of track over, we can see that the leg that was responsible for, you know, and it was a strong leg, right? That was a big push up. These buyers confirmed that low in this system. And so we take the bottom bar or the first bar of that sequence, and that's where we want to be entering. So when we pull back into that area, we want to look for a rebid. So this would have been not a full day later. And sometimes these are the best setups. They don't always happen an hour later. Matter of fact, I think, in my opinion, the best setups come back to these hours, days later.
Those are the ones that you get those like one touch and bounce and they rip for 100 points. Yeah. Like, what just happened?
Yep. So in this case, we retest it at 10 o'clock, the 10 o'clock candle on Tuesday. So a day later. In basically the morning drop down, we hit this sort of rebid from a trend break or a buy side trend break perspective. And I think the results kind of speak for themselves here. Like, we just trend up and, you know, close on the highs. We scoop up into the next day. We have data and we just push up to basically in ES what was about a 100 point move. I'm sorry, a 200 point move in ES. So this would be an example of a buy side trend break. Again, we make a move to the low. We identify the previous high. The leg that takes out that previous high or confirms that move to the low, those are the buyers that, in my opinion, were convinced that that low was a significant low, and they're going to defend it. And so if the thesis is they're going to defend it, we want to join them on a retest of that level. And yeah, so I think we can look this. So this is on the hourly chart. This same concept works as you go up in time frames. And as you go up in time frames, your sort of like risk expands because daily bars are big, weekly bars are big by nature. And, you know, again, another good reason to sort of move this trade potentially into options. Mm-hmm. If you're not a swing trader, you know, you can go out weeklies, and I've got kind of a system for this. So if it's an hourly trend break, I like to take 0 to 1 DTE. At about like a 25 to 35 delta. And I'll try to close those once we go sort of like an average 1 hour move, which in ES would be like 35-ish points, 25 to 35 points. If it's a 4 hour to daily move, I'll try to take them on like a 3 day, 3 DTE. And same thing, I'll look for like a little higher delta there. I try not to go more than like 1 or 2 to 3 strikes out of the money, but something like that. So again, as we go into higher time frame, let's look at Amazon on the weekly.
Pulling that up, does anybody have any questions?
I don't have a question, but I would just point out that like sometimes when I've was early on looking at this kind of idea, I would think like every swing you start getting kind of addicted to trying to find something. And so you're looking at every swing and thinking, well, that might have been the move to the high. I mean, that's far enough. Oh, that's a new high. But like really it's the best trades, in my opinion, come from like what you just showed, but it's almost like the patience of waiting for someone to step out.
This is, it's the not picking the top. It's not picking the bottom. It's joining the rebid or the reoffer after the bottom or top has been confirmed. And you just hear that a ton.
The difference is like trying to pinpoint that spot. We were talking earlier about like the great, like, hey, this is where I would like to put a trade on. Well, let's say in theory for this Amazon example, if where you wanted to put a trade on was 170 to sell or buy puts and that all happened pre-market, then like, yeah, you might have a short bias and an expectancy of how far it goes, but you'll get ripped apart trying to catch the entry because look at this. Mm-hmm. Like, so if you can't in your sitting at the market during the times that you're trading, if this doesn't happen when you're at the screen, then you just become more and more aware that you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because we could easily run back up and test into that again and fail. But the first touch is the best touch, right? So it's like, do you really want to fight it if you missed it? Or do you want to then you just have to go into the waiting game till we go back and test something that was lost or blah, blah, blah. But
yeah. And to your point, do you want to fight a strong rejection? I know a lot of people that were trying to long that rejection on Thursday in NQ. And I just like, dude, I'm in this trade. It's a ODZ down 30 second, no tick down. We made a sell side trend break in the middle of the afternoon, retested it. And like, there is no way I'm longing this dip into the close. I am short and I'm not touching it until the market like closes.
I was short with you, which we messaged about that because you said at your little 88 box, I bought puts. And I said, at my little 88 box, I sold the futures.
Yeah. All right. So we'll jump into this weekly example just from a high time frame perspective, because I think it's like kind of cool to see it work on multiple time frames. So in Amazon here, we are looking at June 21st. Again, like a huge up move from $85 to $188, where they never made a significant low. Yeah, this is a weekly chart. We never made a significant low. And the move that happened from June 28th to July 12th, that the sequence of weekly candles that make that high, we have a very obvious example of the previous low was down here. If we just kind of jot over here, we see that this is where that got taken out. And so in yellow here, if you're watching on the replay, you can see I've identified the leg down that confirmed, activated and said, yep, that high, we believe in it and we want to go lower. And so they make that low, and it takes all the way. So that move started December 27th. They didn't retest it until March. So, you know, we're talking months later. And if you look at the first candle, the body of the first candle that made that confirmation leg lower, when we retest that, it's at roughly 170. And we moved from 170 all the way down to 81. So this thing dropped off basically 50% of its value from that retest. And again, to Bob's point, you know, you could have tried to pick a top for 100 points in Amazon. Every high was not the high until the high that was the high got confirmed by this activation leg. And when we retested that trend break leg, that activation leg, that retest still provided a move from 170 all the way down to basically 80. And so you got 110 points. Now, you know, do you have to hold for that whole thing? Obviously not. But, you know, that idea.
Flurry, man, I hear your boy bugging you. Sounds like it's probably bedtime for everyone over at your house there. But, man, I really do appreciate you sharing that, walking us through what really looks like a hell of a setup. I hope people check out the video. Anybody else have anything to say real quick as we wrap up here on that? Any thoughts, any comments?
No, just with that idea of gain loss, one of the things that you'll see a lot of times people complaining about, not with that thing, but you ever see a trade move away from a low and you're like, oh, I'm gonna jump into this. And then you jump into it, it goes a little bit, you get something off, and then it pulls back deeper than your entry to some random spot and then kicks again. And you see a lot of people get long. I sent you guys some screenshots before. People get long, they get stopped out, they flip short when it gets below their entry only for it to rebid that spot. And so sometimes just a little more awareness of how trend develops can help with that patience of waiting, and you may have to wait for a while. And that's,
but having something systematic and repeatable, that's yeah. kind of the key. That's the name of the game.
Yeah, you nailed it. It's a systematic approach to identifying a shift in trend and a significant leg in the shift in trend. And I showed four examples that were obviously, you know, great examples on purpose. For every good example, there's a bad example. And potentially
magic.
There's more bad examples than good examples of where they go through a trend break zone, or maybe they go through it, you know, by an hour or two on a 1 hour chart, and then they bid it. But the idea is that it's a level that you can consistently monitor for a rebid or a reoffer. And when it does work, because it's systematic, you know what the next part of that looks like. The whole point of a retest of a trend start is that it's your best opportunity to rejoin the trend before it goes and makes its bigger move. And if you look at a lot of like trend based work, the next leg is typically, that middle leg is typically the biggest leg. And so what you're really doing is identifying how to join that middle leg and not how to pick a bottom or pick a top or be late. Right, which, you know, is how you get on the how you find yourself long into a move to the high, you know. And so again, systematic, but that doesn't mean it works every time. Systematic just means that you're taking the trade consistently and your feedback loop is good, and you can decide whether or not your system and your approach to how you're going to trade it is positive EV or negative. And I think that's the big thing, whether you like this system or not, or this setup or not, is it's got rules. It's well-defined. Those lines only get drawn where they're supposed to get drawn, and the trades only get taken where they're supposed to get taken. There's no, like the whole previous conversation that we had, guessing or you know, jumping in and out. It's, I entered where I thought this was an opportunity. Maybe I zoomed in and got a tighter entry. Maybe I, you know, took it in options versus futures or whatever you do. But the point is that it's consistent, and that if your winners are bigger than your losses in a consistent process, you know, the rest is just a matter of like being at the desk and generating EV, like we talked about earlier. So
I think we've given everyone a pretty good framework if they wanted to try to build something off of that. So we're not going to give the sauce. You're going to have to do a little bit of work on yourself. But
One other sauce that I think is helpful is if you're on a smaller time frame and you see moves to the high, moves to the low, get like they flip one way, flip the other way, flip the other way. That's almost like, that's like a precursor to pretty substantial
momentum
expansion.
Yep.
Yeah. So just if you're working on this and you start to notice like, well, he didn't show an example where we lost it and then turn around, lost it and gained it and lost it, and then we went 700 points. Like that is a feature. That's a nuance of understanding it. So just as you were, if somebody's playing with this, just that's part of the deal.
Yeah, look at the 1 hour from this week on NQ. We gained and lost the 1 hour probably four times, and that begets that volatility on the 1 hour begets a momentum break on the 4 hour. And if you see it on the 4 hour, you better get ready for a big move because it's coming on the daily. And again, it kind of like lends itself to a systematic approach to cues to know when a move is coming. And you know what, if you're taking 1 hour entries fading a 4 hour momentum break, you're in trouble, which I think a lot of traders maybe saw this week, right? Like, yeah. You know, shorts just got blasted by rips back up to the highs. longs saw 300 point pullbacks. And we saw that, you know, basically from Tuesday to Thursday. But if you zoomed out, you know, the larger move on the daily was just kind of very clear. So again, systematic approach and a setup there.
Well, let's get everybody out the door here. So say thank you to Flary. Thank you, Baba Yaga. Thank you, Bear, for joining in tonight. Everyone listening and stuck around to the bitter end here. Remember, you can show our panelists some love. You can click on those links in the show notes. You can visit VantaTrading.com for a front row seat to Baba Sneezing Trading. VantaTraders.com, you can browse our huge catalog by guests. You can go check out Prop Alpha if you still haven't. Baba, do we still have a discount code for that?
It's in our Discord under deals and discounts.
Yeah,
search that.
Probably
people can find it.
I've done that before I wrote this script.
That's okay. They can also just send me a DM if they want it, and I'll find it for them.
Code Vanta. That's so easy. How do we miss that? All right. Let's see. While you're doing all that, we'll get to work on another exciting episode. But till then, like, share, subscribe, all the things, and have a green week. This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.